Okay. Ellie is on a roll.
I am.
She has been killing it with these trivia questions, which have been the hardest part,
I think, of the podcast. It's basically just saying that I should work for BuzzFeed.
Yeah,
I think. At BuzzFeed.
That's what we've gleaned from this.
Yeah. Hire me.
And I should take BuzzFeed quizzes, is what
we've gleaned from this. Graduating June unknown date, because McGill doesn't give us the date. until, like, you know, January.
Leaves you in suspense. Hit them with your trivia question.
Yeah, so my trivia question for this week is, if you could rewrite Buffy as a different genre, what genre would you choose?
I had a knee-jerk reaction to this, because my favorite genre is film noir. I love it. I love like, clear the symbolism is, like when there's, like, railings, and then there's shadows of it, and then the shadows
black
are
and
bars.
White.
Yes. So, here's how it's going to play out. Buffy is a hard-boiled detective
yes.
who doesn't take any shit from anybody. Willow is her buddy from the war, who, like, they have, like, real talks over, like, beer,
oh
and they, like, crack the case together. Spike, femme fatale.
Yes!
Yep.
Yeah. Oh my god, I love it.
I know.
I'm such a fan.
Angel, stick with me. Angel is the police sergeant
yes.
who's, like, trying to solve the case but can't do it as well as this off the, like,
oh
beaten track detective.
Amazing. I'm in love.
Yeah, I know. And then Giles is the one who will, like, give that last, like, really needed piece of information that, like, makes the whole thing come together full circle.
That's amazing.
I don't know if you need Xander. You can throw him in there. I guess he could be, like, the kid reporter.
No, he's, like, the helper. Of the, like, detective?
Sure.
Or, like,
yeah.
something,
yeah? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm
really excited.
At Joss, pick it up.
Yes, at Joss.
I decided I would choose reality TV.
Great.
Honestly, don't really know how it's gonna go down. I really just want to see, like, Xander and Cordelia in front of a camera. Kind of, like, explaining how they think things go down.
Yes,
which, like,
I want, like, a truth booth of all
right?
of these characters.
Exactly, being, like... I want that. That's all I want. And, like, I don't know how, like, the slaying would actually factor into it. I just think, like, as, like, their personal lives.
Yep.
And just, like, and I think it would work with, like, the Whedon-y narrative and, like, his writing.
Well, it reminds me of Storyteller with Andrew when he's,
yeah.
like, walking around with that, like,
actually.
Camera. Because, like, they're all a little narcissistic. Like,
they
Spike wants to be
exactly.
on camera.
And, like, honestly, I feel like Buffy does, too. And, like,
yeah.
I feel like Joyce would be hilarious in front of the camera.
Yes.
Giles would just be like, I don't know what to say.
I want Joyce to have, like, a Big Brother camera in the house,
yes.
but she never
yes.
leaves. So when, like, things get too heated, we just, like, cut back to the house and Joyce is just, like, chopping carrots or, like, browsing her art gallery magazines.
And, like, Giles is, like, when she and Giles kind of have, like, the thing.
Yeah.
And Giles, like, walks in and sees the camera and, like, walks out. He's like, I can't do it. I'm out.
I can't do it. All right, there you go. If you have a different opinion on genre,
let us know.
# live from the Hellmouth.
That's us. That's us. Episode 4,
and I feel like I'm starting to get the hang of it.
We are. I think from the beginning, you definitely have, like, the radio voice, but I think we're both kind of getting, like, the cadences and using
yeah.
our silence and just trying to figure it out. We've both kind of slowed down a little bit in our talking.
I think that's a huge part of it, is just, like, I'm going to take a beat.
Exactly.
To perhaps better articulate what I'm thinking.
I know. There was a ton in the promo where my words were just completely slurred. Was not drunk. I promise. It's the way I talk.
Takeaway is that we have voices for radio and faces for television.
I mean...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You're nodding very vigorously, so I'm gonna say yes.
It's true.
Okay.
So here are the topics on deck for today. We have, quickly, we want to talk about fight sequences. Very quickly.
Yeah.
I think both of us have the same level of interest in fighting on the big screen, on any screen. And then we're going to get into what I know we're both...
very passionate about.
Pretty jazzed, which is just...
women.
Women helping women, and just
yeah.
ladies and girl gangs and...
all that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, without further ado, we're going to start. Oh, and I did forget to mention, we are tackling part four. But there were too many great parts in the fifth installation of The Long Way Home regarding sisterhood, not to tie that in a little bit.
And we are going to take the last episode within this season finale, I guess you would call it, to kind of go over some stuff we touched in the promo, so it'll focus a little less on the comic itself, of the fifth installation, and more on kind of comics in general and just Buffy as a comic. But yeah.
Let's get to it.
Cool. So I guess the first thing we want to just talk about is that Buffy is iconic for her fight scenes, and it's from, like, the very first episode, you get fight scenes, and you love the fight scenes. It's, like,
nothing is more intense than her just upside down on that pole.
Swinging down.
Beating up Angel. And I will say, for Joss, kind of, like, the credit where credit's due, I do want to see, like, this little blonde girl in an alley not afraid.
Not afraid at all.
People should be afraid of her.
Exactly. And so we have these awesome fight scenes in the original TV show, and translating them over to the comic is weird. I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan either, and I think it's because in the TV show, more often than not, it's kind of like a 1v1 or a 2v2, and it's very kind of hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. And I think the reason I like those versus the reason I get so bored. Do you get bored watching?
I got bored.
Watching superhero movies, it's just like, okay, we have reached the penultimate point of, we're going to get 15 minutes of, like, this Avenger fighting that Avenger, or Superman doing
this. It's just like
the
battling out of men.
It's just, my eyes glaze over immediately.
Yes. It's just a ton of money. You're, like, you're putting in the money, you're getting the money, but it's, like, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, and I will say, though, like, you do notice when it goes wrong. I don't know if you watched, what is it, Doctor Strange? With Sherlock in
it.
Yes,
I did not.
They blew a huge part of their budget in the middle. Like, you know how you had that establishing fight? They made it, like, giant, and then they had, like, a tiny end fight, and it
interesting.
Was
that's weird.
Weird. But I guess what we're trying to say is this is much more like those superhero fights.
It is. And I think, I wonder if it's kind of this idea that you're placing Satsu and Buffy, who are two women, in this historically male, like, genre, and, like, I guess, a sequence? It just feels very much like you could put in a ton of, like, canonical male superheroes into the scene, and it feels like nothing has really changed. And also, Buffy has this weird, like, makeshift, like, the handle is a blade, the front is a spike,
and
we
get into that in episode, or in installation 5, where they have this kind of waterfall of the Slayers, and they all have that same weapon, so is it a historical weapon now?
But I don't remember seeing that on the TV show.
I don't either, and I will say, it was interesting when you mentioned this is putting women in the role of, like, a male superhero, because I don't know if you saw Wonder Woman.
I have not, actually.
Okay, so
I know I have to.
No, yeah. I will block that out.
I'm so sorry.
But her final fight scene, there is definitely that traditional aspect of fighting, but she has, like, a long kind of back and forth conversation with the bad guy where they talk it out, and he tries to persuade her of something, and she sticks to what she inevitably believes. And I would say there is this kind of tension of placing women in
how
these
do
positions.
You do it? You need a paradigm shift. I think that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's that you can't place a woman in it and have them take over for the man and say that's the same, and vice versa. And I think a lot of there is gendering of this idea that the women need to talk it out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not saying that, like, that's the end all. Like, that's what we want women to do in these scenes. I guess we just wanted a little bit more integration or just innovation, I guess, in terms of, like, how they're portraying Buffy in these fight scenes. Especially because I feel like she has such a style in the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's not fighting like Angel fights, or she's not fighting.
She's almost like martial art. Like, she does a lot of flips. She does a lot with her legs.
It's like a cheerleader gone bad.
Yeah. My favorite thing she does is when she falls over and then, like, flips herself back up. Like, you don't know how she does it. And you're like, whoever you hired is your body double.
Honestly.
Like, hats off to that girl. And I guess the last thing I want to say about these fight sequences, and we touched on this in the first episode with how do you make a TV show back into a comic, is you don't get the satisfaction of like a last punch with this. Like, if you go to page 15, the last three panels are showing her doing a somersault over the bad guys, and she kind of, you get this idea of motion because her figure crosses over the gutters into the next figure, but it's just,
there's no closure. There's no, like, mic drop to it. The only thing I can think...
There's no mic drop.
The only thing I can think that they could have done would just leave a few open pages.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway.
That's what we have to say about fighting.
Yep.
And now we get to talk about ladies. And I think the best place to start with
what's
that...
What's that song? It's like, nah, nah, ladies. Yeah.
You know you...
Yeah.
You're welcome for that moment.
We do a lot of singing.
So I know that we were talking earlier, you and I, with... We do talk with the mics off sometimes. I don't want to make that sound
it's
too
not
exclusive.
Cabin in the woods, you.
Yeah, you don't get to hear everything. But I know we were talking about the Slayers League and this kind of... how they treat Satsu when she gets this honor. But I want to take it back even further to page 4 and 5 and Dawn's reaction to Willow being taken.
Yeah.
And this line that she has where she goes, Will is like a mom to me. And that, like, crushed look on Buffy's face. And they have a very tense relationship. And I think this, I love it because it, like, it got extra credit on the Bechdel test. You know what I mean? Like, it's... it's this question of, like, a three women and their relationships to each other.
And you're kind of bringing in, like, I feel like it brings in Joyce and it brings in other mother figures that have been in the show previously or in, like, the world previously. And it's, so it's not even, it's bigger than, but it's still within the realm of women. It's not.
It kind of, to me, I almost think of, like, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child a little bit. Just because, like, Harry doesn't know how to parent his kid in that because he didn't really have a good role model. I feel like Buffy pushed Joyce away a lot, and Joyce wasn't always the most kind of forceful in her parenting, so now Buffy doesn't know how to mother Dawn, and then Dawn sees...
Nor should she, really? Like, it's weird, and I think it's also... we don't really know why Willow, or why Dawn is huge, why she's a giant yet.
Yeah, there's, like, stuff with her boyfriend, and it'll be revealed.
Yeah.
I don't know if it has been revealed thus far. It has something to do with her boyfriend and her boyfriend's roommate, and that's its... it's very tied up in kind of, like, female sexuality. But I think what's interesting to me is, like, Willow as this aunt figure.
Yeah.
And, it's like, being the fun aunt is easy.
The fairy godmother.
Exactly. And she really, like, she's a witch.
She is.
So I just thought that was, like, too good of a gem to throw out. And I was very impressed with Joss a little bit for putting that in there. For letting us have that moment. But then, of course, you get... I guess, I don't know if I want to hop into, I think we have to hop into Satsu first, even though she and Willow's psyche are very much tied together. I think it makes sense to do Satsu first. So, what happens to Satsu in this?
Oh my goodness.
Stay with me, I need you for one more
episode. I know.
At least.
It was like a lot going on. I just don't even, if you have thoughts, why don't you jump ahead?
Sure. My biggest thought was... you kind of see that this is a, like, we are sisters,
yeah.
We stand together, but at the same time, this is their job. And I think that what's interesting with Buffy is she's always the chosen one. Mm-hmm. She could be a bit reluctant, but anytime another Slayer showed up, she got very territorial over her, I'm the one, I'm the Slayer. So to me, it's interesting. Now you have all of these Slayers, so you start to have this hierarchy, and they're a little competitive with each other. And I think that shows more nuance than just, like, kumbaya, you hold my hand, I hold yours, we're stronger as a team. They're kind of going at it a little bit. Like, they want to be better than the other one. And so Satsu, I guess I went into my spiel before I explained. Satsu gets chosen by Buffy to go with her on this rescue mission of Willow, which is just a huge honor for any of the Slayers to get chosen. And the girls kind of... they're all gathered in, like, a dormitory type space, and Satsu says, it should have been one of you. And I cannot do a Scottish accent. I've watched a ton of Outlander, but I still can't. And the girl basically said, I'm just going to read it verbatim.
Yes, just do that.
You dinna think we know that. Personally, I think Buffy just wants Tay die looking at your great hairdo, but it's her that's boss. It kind of reminds me of, like, a New York newsy accent from, like, the 1930s or something. And then she says, don't embarrass us. And then you get this Mulan panel. Who is that?
Cue Christina Aguilera. But, yeah, it's this weird... I think the main problem is that Buffy, like we were talking about a few episodes back, is that Buffy is still that, the higher up, the, like, the ultimate being of the Slayers. And so no matter what, I feel like even if it wasn't like Buffy chose her, if someone becomes closer to Buffy, she's ultimately somehow above the rest of the girls.
Yes.
And so it's weird that, like, you want this individuality and you want this girl power, but they're still fighting. And it's like, you're still fighting to be ultimately friends with this white girl who's like, it's kind of like the popular white girl. Like, I don't know what to make of it.
I think for me, I have trouble with making it out because Buffy is so many different things to them. So she
That's
is,
true.
She's their boss, but she's also their trainer, but she's also a like sister,
icon and
an
like,
icon, yeah. a mother figure, because all of these girls have left home. And for some of them, she becomes a love object. So I think she becomes very different things to different people.
There's a line blurred. And I think that's the thing with Buffy, and mostly pre the comics and pre like the last few seasons, where it's, we know that Buffy in the end of the television show was kind of upset with where she was, and she wanted to stay in heaven and she didn't want to be resurrected. So it's weird, like, I don't even know where I was going with this, but
she doesn't even really know who she wants to be.
And I feel like it's just, I don't know, it's weird. We didn't really touch on the fact that Buffy has to come back as this mentor, and, like, what that means for Buffy, and then she has the stuff with Dawn and, like, Willow, and it,
I think the best thing to do right now is to skip ahead to 5.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather compare this sisterhood with 5 and then come back to Willow. And if you're on comic number 5 and you want to skip over to, I don't have page numbers in the actual book.
Which sequence are you looking for?
I think we should start here with the, she's sitting at a picnic table. Perfect. Okay. So we're seeing someone get chosen as a Slayer. And I don't know if I've seen this happen before.
I don't think so. I haven't.
And essentially, you get on the next page, which is page
7.
This, what I think
or
is...
8. I guess this was 8.
I think this is just one of the most beautiful things that I've seen drawn in a Buffy comic yet.
Yeah.
Well, it's this upside-down rainbow, quite literally a rainbow. They're all of different backgrounds, of, like, past Slayers.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking about, so I guess it's different for different people, and for her, it hurt a ton to become a Slayer. For others, it was like a brief tickle. And I almost think of this kind of Slayer puberty that they're hitting and, like, going and maturing. And then there were these tiny panels.
Yeah, I think you should talk about it because you...
I love this. So you have got...
Ooh, Giles.
I keep... Gentle listeners. At the beginning, you have Giles. At the beginning, you have Giles. And he goes, and now I will tell you about the chain. Right? And then you get what you...
This chain of women who are supposedly the chain of Slayers.
And our girl is here at the beginning. You have the first Slayer. And then you kind of have almost a Buffy with this white dress. Mm-hmm. You have kind of what looks like a conquistador. This French New Wave black woman comes next. And then you have this like...
50s.
Louis the 16th looking. And then another schoolgirl. And then someone in what looks to be
like a witch.
Witch's garb? Yeah, witch's garb, something like that. But anyway, you get the chain.
Yep.
And then you get this woman at the end, this black woman who says there is no truth. And I just thought this showed a really interesting contradiction within how the Slayer legend is told.
Yep.
So from Giles, who's not a Slayer, who's an outsider, he can kind of say, let me tell you about the mythology.
Or like the historiography. It's like it's the factual, like, plain and simple, this is what happens, versus the other one, which is, like, the affective side of it.
Yes. And then you get a very dollhouse sequence after this.
Yes, actually.
Where they're all training, they're all together, especially that last panel when they're all holding stakes. I couldn't put it into words, is what it says on that slide. The one time that guy did pretty well, though. And another example of Giles kind of being the voice of that as you were saying.
Yeah.
And I think we thought this part in between it was interesting.
There's
you want to touch
little,
on the 50s?
Snippet that is trying to mimic. And this is, again, one of those things where I don't know how effective it is in terms of it being in the comic. I feel like on television this might be a little bit more doable.
They tried to do the panels like an old you would call it like the tube. Like, I'm gonna go watch the tube.
It's like this 50s, 60s like housewife, and it's talking about
her husband looks like Andrew.
Oh my gosh.
That's why I thought it was a little subversive, because I wanted him to come in with his, like, Andrew voice. And
oh my god. Yeah, but basically, it's her. She breaks the vase, and then the guy is like, oh, like, what's happening? We can call this number, because you're,
1-800
like, you're the chosen one. And it's just kind of It's, again, it's this thing with Joss where he kind of satirizes what he's talking about, but it's kind of, it's a weird interjection, and it has the black borders again, and it's drawn completely differently like the rest, almost in this kind of, like, you know that cartoon effect you can use to put on, like, photo booths?
Yes.
It looks like that.
Yes, it does. It's kind of, like, blotchy, almost.
Yeah.
It looks like it was painted in, like, dots. But I think the difference is that this sisterhood seems much more harmonious.
It does.
And it seems that it's harmony born of, like, an intense pain. So kind of this communal trauma. And I don't think you get that background with Buffy's girls in Scotland.
It's very much, I think we were also talking about the changes in the cycles of the Slayers. And there was this, like, rebirth, the cyclical nature to it where you have the one Slayer, she dies, the next one comes. And I guess that was interrupted when, like, Kendra shows up after, and then, like, Faith shows up after Kendra's killed and all this stuff. But it just, I don't know, I kind of liked the cyclical one. I know you were talking about how it is, like, rooted in the patriarchy.
Yes.
But I like what you're saying, and I think, I guess, maybe make a middle ground between the two. Though I do like the one that we were talking about right now way better than Buffy's, like you were saying.
Yeah, I think that, well, this just in itself inherently allows for more, like, kind of multiculturalism and more, like, identities being shown. There is something very poetic, though, I will give you that, in the one is born, one dies, and then the loopholes that are created with all the resurrection. But let's skip back. I want to give Willow her
moment.
Her moment, because she has one. And I will say again, this is where I think it's kind of that sci-fi fantasy crossover one more time, because we delve into her psyche.
We do.
And we get these five avatars. I'm calling them, what do you want to call them?
I don't even know. Like,
you've got,
they're kind of elemental, but, like,
yeah. So you have Earth, who's, like, made of bark, and she's got leaves for hair. I'm calling her Flora. Like, Flora and Fauna. And then the next one I'm calling Fauna, because it's, like, she kind of reminds me of, who's the blue girl in X-Men?
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Yep. Jennifer Lawrence.
Yep.
Except instead of being covered in blue scales, she's covered in downy fur. And then we get this blue water bender.
Nymph type, like, right. I don't even know.
So we have Aquamarina. Yeah. And then you have what I think are really interesting inclusions, and I think, of course, a writer and an artist would include these as base elements, is you have this kind of almost painterly woman who looks like an amalgamation of Renaissance portraits. And then you have this woman kind of made of paper who has arithmetic drawn over her.
Yeah.
And it's implied that these are the pillars of her psyche.
I like it. I think it's nice that it's kind of like the woman is made of woman. And they interact really nicely with each other. Again, it's the talking. It's the kind of going through stuff that we like. It's not the, like, Xander, I have a reaction, let me act on that action, reaction, right now.
And there's almost, to me, there's inner conflict going on. Because he's lobotomizing you. Do you have a plan? Asked the Aquamarina girl. And it's Willow's calm.
Yeah. And it's very, it reminded me of the fourth Harry Potter where he's in the graveyard. And all of the, like, spirits
of the kill
come out. It's very that. It's like, we are this community that makes you up. It's very meta.
I was thinking of Inside Out, actually.
Oh my gosh, yes! It's her emotions talking to each other.
So I was like, who gets to drive? And I was thinking, like, the water's joy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So she's in charge most of the time. And then you have, like, your more analytical side, which is this white girl. You have your, like, right, you have your left and your right brain. And then, which one's the creative one? Your left brain?
I could not tell you.
I think it's the right brain.
Okay.
And then so she's, this is her more artsy side. And then you kind of have your animalistic side. The water is her base, like we said. And then the fauna, I don't really know.
No.
I guess it's just like your natural impulses,
yeah.
I guess. But I liked this.
I like this a lot. And it's also interesting because Willow does get lobotomized. So we're tackling these issues of mental health that we've talked extensively about in class, especially regarding, like, River in Firefly. And again, we also have Amy. We've talked about Amy yet, really.
No, we have not given her a fair
shake. Has kind of gone crazy, essentially. And so we have these kind of two ends where, like, you see Willow's stable of mind. She has these pillars that make herself up, strong women, creating one big strong woman. And then you have Amy, who kind of, you don't get this. You don't get the sense that of stability and that, like, of her, I don't even know.
I think it's tough for Amy because she, think about it, she had a horrible mom.
Oh, that's true.
She had to kind of go it alone in high school. Like, mm-hmm. Buffy very quickly got the Scooby gang. So she was having a non-normal teenage experience, but she had other people who understood her. Whereas Amy went it alone, got cursed into being in love with Xander, and then turns into a rat for a while. Like, a while. And then,
like, basically, like, it makes sense.
Yeah, and then she tries to turn Willow dark, and then she has a friend, but then Willow kind of, like, rejects her for... It's... I give Amy a little bit of a pass on that. But without... I mean, this is Buffy the comic, so we always come back to Buffy.
At the end.
In what I just think is so smart.
Yep.
I got chills.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I got chills. I was telling you this earlier because Buffy from season one, she throws tantrums like nobody's business.
She's a 16-year-old girl, right? 16.
Why me? Yeah. Why am I the chosen one?
I want to do this.
Like, I want to be a queen of homecoming and popular again and have a night where I can just be with boys. And I get that, but she has just grown so much. And I think we get that with Willow, too. And we talked about that a little bit in her fight scenes. But just, I think the internalization we were talking about conflict.
But also, it's weird because just, like, one last thing. I know we were talking about, like, this is her job and the idea of, like, job versus this is your life and how she's born into it. And it's interesting because I think what we get in the first few seasons of Buffy and throughout most of the TV show is that you have Buffy wanting... like, Slayer Buffy, and then you want, like, normal high school Buffy. And I think what we've gotten from these comics so far is that there is no longer this line. It's kind of, like, maybe the only line that we see into her personal life is with Dawn. But we don't really get the, like, Buffy outside of being a Slayer, a mentor, or a trainer. She's only ever that. And I think that's really interesting. I don't really know what to make of it. Other than that part may be gone, which is kind of sad.
It is sad. And I think we always kind of... like, I always crap on Riley a little bit. Yeah. I think that's just kind of, like, inherent to the Buffyverse. But he was not a vamp. You know what I mean? Like, he was a normal dude, and she could kind of, like, keep that. And she dated Scott for a while, and when Angel came back, she was like, I just need a solid guy.
Yeah.
And I think also part of it is, like, her love life is always entangled in this, and she doesn't have personal space. I think what's really interesting to me about this last page, page 24, is you have... Buffy, 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 Buffy. And then the last panel, which is presented as equal, is her kind of, like,
signature?
Emblem? Yeah. And you kind of start to understand how, like, iconography of her.
Yeah. She's become a product. Like, she is very much, like, a corporation.
Yeah, she is. She is, like, it is the name. You know what I mean? Like, she is protecting this legacy. She has become more than herself.
It's no longer
larger
her.
Than life.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to get into that in the next episode a little bit about... It's gonna be a whammy.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
It ended well. This one ended well. I will say that. Like,
hats off. I think this podcast is growing and the comics are growing right alongside it. So.
Exactly.
Cannot wait for the next one.
But for now, we're done. Yeah.
We are donezo. Donezo, Washington.
All right.
All right.